Okay, welcome to Shir Targum, Parshas Achrimos. In Perek Yud Zayin, right after the Torah is introduced, the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Torah begins to speak about the prohibition of Shchutei Chutz, that if a person brings a karbon, and he brings it in exactly the same manner that he would bring a regular karbon in the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, but he shechts it outside the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. So that's called Shchutei Chutz, you know, external sacrifice of karbonos. And the Torah says that such a person is subject to karis. In Perek Yizayin Pasuk Gimel, the Psukim say, Ish Ish mi Beis Yisrael, any man from Klal Yisrael, Shar Yishchad Shor Kesef O'ez B'machaneh, he shechts an animal in the camp, O Asher Yishchad mi Chutz L'machaneh, or he shechts it outside of the camp. V'al Pesach ha'al moed lo hevio v'akriv karbon l'Hashem. In other words, he doesn't bring it as a karbon the way, you know, as he brings a karbon, the way Chazal understand one understanding of the Pasuk, he shechts something as a karbon outside of the Mishkan. Dom yechashev le'ishahu, dom shafach, that person is considered as if he spilled blood. V'nichras ha'ish ha'hu mikerev amo. And that person is going to be punished with the penalty of karis. Again, a very, very serious punishment for this prohibition of shchutei chutz. The Baal HaTurim notes why all of a sudden the Torah is talking about shchutei chutz at this particular point in time. Samach parsha shchutei chutz l'sara mishtaleach. The parsha of Shchutei Chutz is introduced over here in the Torah immediately after the Torah finished telling us about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, which of course prominently features the Sara Mishtaleach, the goat which is sent off the cliff. Lomar she'af opi she'hitarti l'cho asar mishtaleach b'chutz shedchiyaso latzuk zoi shchitoso, that even though, says the Baal HaTurim, the Torah is saying, even though the Torah allowed the Sara Mishtaleach, where it's a, not exactly a karbon, but certainly something that has, let's call it ritual significance, right? In other words, it's part of the avoda of Yom Kippur, and that is shechted, quote-unquote, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Mishkan, its shchita is pushing it off the cliff. Nonetheless, don't start getting the wrong idea. Just because Sara Mishtaleach is okay, don't think that in general, Shchutei Chutz, shechting a carbon outside of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, is something which is acceptable. Right? So that's the Baal HaTurim explains. That's the Smichas HaParshios. That's the juxtaposition of Shchutei Chutz with the discussion of Sara Mishtaleach, which we had earlier. Let's come back for a moment to the Pasuk, Perek Yizayin Pasuk Dalet. Dom yechashev lo ishahu, dam shofach. The person who brings shchutei chutz is considered as if he spilled blood. What exactly does that mean? So here we find, in both Rashi and the Targum Yonason ben Uziel, the following statement. It's a Medrash Tanchuma. Rashi writes, Dom yechoshev kishofech dam ha'odom shemischayev benafsho. A person who violates the Isser of Shchutei Chutz is comparable to someone who spills human blood, who of course is subject to the death penalty for having committed murder. But it says, Dom yechoshev lo ishahu, the person who brings Shchutei Chutz is held liable for blood. He has blood on his head, so to speak. Dom shafach. He has spilled blood. What the Torah is trying to say is that this shchutei chutz person is on some level the equivalent of a murderer. The Targum Yonason ben Uziel makes a similar comment. Targum Yonason ben Uziel writes, a person who doesn't bring this thing as a karbon, Adam ketol yischashov legavra hahu. That person is reckoned as if he spilled murderous blood, Adam Ketol, murderous blood, Usehei Le, Ki'ilu Adam Zakai Ashad. It should be reckoned to him as if he spilled innocent blood. Should be reckoned to him as if he spilled innocent blood. Now again, I don't want anyone to walk away from the shiur tonight, you know, thinking that you can go out and engage in shchutei chutz. But this comparison of shchutei chutz to murder, just on the surface, seems a little bit over the top. I mean, okay, you didn't bring the karbon in the proper place. You brought it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. You brought it outside of the Mishkan. Okay, that's a terrible thing. To be honest, I have a little bit of a hard time understanding why it's a chi of kares. In other words, okay, you know, so let's say a person wants to bring a karbon to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but does it in the wrong place, you know? I mean, Moshel Amado Verdome. If a guy wants to start in a minyan in his apartment, outside of the shul, would we say that that person is chayiv kares? So the answer is, depends which rov you ask, right? We're not in favor. Maybe it's not a good thing, but I mean to say that, you know, worshipping the Ribbono Shel Olam in the wrong locale is a chi of kares? And then you want to go one step further and tell me that not only is it a chi of kares, but it's ki'ilu shafach dom naki. It's like you're a murderer by engaging in shchutei chutz. What exactly is the basis of that comparison? Why is there not, you know, a so over-the-top comparison that it just defies explanation? So before we try to explain, again, this what's ultimately a Medrash Tanchuma, which is quoted by Rashi in the Yonos on Ben Uziel, I think it's instructive to look at other ways to understand what the Pasuk means over here. I mean, again, it's a strange Pasuk. Dom yechoshev lo ishahu dom shofach. This person has spilled blood. I mean, obviously that's true that he spilled blood. He shechted an animal. But, you know, what exactly is meant by saying that dom shofach, that he spilled blood, you know, somehow purposelessly or, you know, inappropriately by bringing shchutei chutz? What exactly is the Torah driving at with this? So the very interesting comment in the Sefer HaChinuch, which is different than this Medrash Tanchuma, Rashi, and Targum Yonos on Ben Uziel, but I think it's interesting in its own right. It also serves to as a contrast a little bit to the approach of the Medrash Tanchuma. So this is the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Pei Vav. Misharshei HaMitzvah. The mitzvah itself is shlo lishchot kodshim chutz la'azor. You're not allowed to shecht karbonos outside of the azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Misharshei HaMitzvah, from the roots of the mitzvah, lefi shashem baruch hu kov ha'mokom liyisrael lehavishor sham karbonosam, lehachin sham levov ha'melov. God set aside a place where we should bring our karbonos and to direct our hearts to him. Umitoch kivius hamakom v'hagdoloso v'yiroso olei b'nei adam. And since the place is a fixed place, and the place is a lavish place, the Beis HaMikdash is a beautiful building, and the Beis HaMikdash inspires people with awe and reverence, nafsho mispa'ela sham letov. It has a tremendous impact on the person who comes to the Beis HaMikdash. V'halavavos misrakakim v'nichnoim l'kabel Shom Malchus Shomayim Shlema. And we're able to accept the yoke of God's kingdom in the Beis HaMikdash in a way which we really can't in any other place. Again, in his beautiful language, Halavavos Misrachachim V'Nichnoim. People's hearts soften and bend before the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Beis HaMikdash in a way in which they simply don't in other places. Right? Again, if we want to extend the analogy to shuls, you know, why is it important to daven in a shul as opposed to davening, you know, just in a house, an apartment, you know, whatnot? So, you know, there's something about the kvius of a shul, you know, the fact that the shul is set aside for davening exclusively, the fact that the shul usually is at least somewhat physically beautiful, I mean, certainly relative to the house or the apartment where you might be davening. And there's a certain sense of awe and reverence that pervades the shul. So in other words, you come to a place that's set aside for Kedusha, it impacts on the person in a meaningful kind of way. It doesn't mean that you can't ever daven anywhere else, but there's something special about davening in a shul. So in a much more magnified way, says the Sefer HaChinuch, there's something very, very special about serving Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, which you're just not going to get anywhere else. Alkein mino anu Hashem yasos maisa karbonos rak b'moko mahu, kidei shetia kapara shleim olanu. God wants us ultimately to bend our hearts towards Him. So if that's going to work better in the Beis HaMikdash than in other places, He wants us to serve Hashem exclusively through karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, not karbonos anywhere else. Okay, good. So far, so good. What does this have to do with Dam Shofach? So continues the Sefer HaChinuch. Uklal hadvarim ki kol asher tzivonu letov lanu. You should know in general, whatever Hashem commands us to do is for our own good. Kemosher kosrafnu. Ki okel chofetz betovas b'yosef betuvo agado. Right? God, in His great goodness, wants His creatures to experience good. This, even if we don't learn anything else tonight, you know, just this point that the Sefer HaChinuch is making, that mitzvos are for our good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do good things to us. That's why He gave us mitzvos. Truth is, it's really a pasuk, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you all these mitzvos, says the pasuk in Devarim, letov loch. It's for your own good, right? God is not a sadist. God is not, you know, He doesn't want to see how much we can twist ourselves into a pretzel every Shabbos, or, you know, how we can make ourselves crazy with this or crazy with that. The mitzvos are meant to make our lives more pleasurable, to make our lives more meaningful, to make our lives more wonderful, right? And that's the basic yisod of Yiddishkeit, and it's important for us to reiterate that to ourselves, because so often, when people don't have that feeling, when they think that mitzvos cholila are a pain in the butt, or worse, that's the beginnings of how people begin to stray from a commitment to Torah mitzvahs. The Chinuch says, mitzvahs are good for us. Mitzvahs are very, very good for us. Good, fine. But still, what does that have to do with Dam Shofach? Ki Omar, ki mishi yakriv chutz la'oso mokam anivchar dam yichashiv lo. The Pasuk says that if a person brings a carbon outside of that special place, the Beis HaMikdosh, is considered as if he shed blood. Why? Vo'inyon hu, ki Hashem lo hitir livnei odom besar bali chayim, rak l'kapara o l'tzarcha b'nei odom. God allows us to use animals, right? We're not members of Pita, right? God allows us to use animals, but He doesn't allow us to use animals and their skin and their flesh indiscriminately. He allows us to use animals for a purpose, either as a kapara, a spiritual purpose. He allows us to bring animals as karbanos, as an atonement, or the tzarche b'nei adam, or for our personal physical needs, kikon mazon, for food, or refua, or healing, or kol davar sheyesh bo shum tzarach b'nei adam, right, or some other human purpose that we gain from the slaughter of animals. Avol hamisam b'li shum toeles klal. But just to kill animals without any gain from them whatsoever? Yesh badavar hashchasa v'nikra shofech dam. That's considered to be destructive, and the person who does so is considered to be one who spills blood. Now, afal pi, this is where the Chinuch clearly parts ways with the Tanchuma and Rashi and the Yonos and Benuzio. Afal pi she'eno kishvichas dam ha'adam. Now, I'm not saying, says the Sefer HaChinuch, that killing an animal wantonly is like murdering a person. Again, in modern terms, I don't belong to PETA, says the Sefer HaChinuch. I really hope nobody here in the audience is from PETA. If so, go get a falafel. It goes well. Right? So, says the Sefer HaChinuch, I'm not saying that killing an animal wantonly is like killing a person. Right? That I'm certainly not saying. By the way, the Tanchuma is, right? And the Tanchuma is saying that Shechut Echutz, at the very least, is considered like killing a person. We have to come back to that. But the Sefer HaChinuch says, I'm not saying that. Why is that? L'maylas ha'adam u'pchisus ha'behema. Because men, people, are on a much higher level than animals. We don't believe that people and animals are morally equivalent to one another. Mikol makom shvichas dam yikare. Nonetheless, to kill an animal wantonly is considered to be shedding blood. It may not be murder, but it is considered a very bad thing. You're shedding blood for no good purpose. The Torah doesn't allow us to just kill animals for no good purpose. And that's what the Torah is telling us over here. Shchut Echutz is like a wanton spilling of the blood of the animal. Why? He's shechting the animal in a place where it doesn't do any good from a kapara point of view. And the shchita doesn't serve any purpose. It is only injurious. It's something that is negative. Because the person is violating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. Basically says the Sefer HaChinuch, when a person engages in Shchut Echutz, he's killing an animal for absolutely no reason. He's not going to eat the animal, right? He's offering the animal up as a karbon. So in other words, he's not going to eat it. And the animal doesn't even count as a karbon because he's shechting it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Mishkan. So essentially, he's killing an animal for no good reason. So you say, good, so you're killing an animal for no good reason. What's the problem? So that's the Sefer HaChinuch says, no, that's a very big problem. We're not allowed to kill animals for no good reason. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us the use of animals, you know, for either our physical purposes or our spiritual purposes, but not for no purpose, right? So that's Dam Shofach. That's, you know, he's spilled blood. He's wantonly destroyed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creatures with no gain to be had in any way from that act, right? The Ramban over here and the Svarno both write something similar to the Sefer HaChinuch. The Ramban writes, Tam Dam Yechashev, why is it considered to be the spilling of blood if you engage in Shchut Echutz? Mimaisa Bereshis Yomar, Hinei B'chol Ba'alichayim, Zulasi Adam, Asisi Domam Kamayim, Luchumam Kiglolim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us to make use of animals, you know, for our own purposes. Aval im yishchat michutz la'machane, yichoshev kishofech domen. But if you shecht it outside of the machane, it's like you're spilling blood. Again, the Ramban is very terse. But it seems like what the Ramban is saying is something along the lines of the Sefer HaChinuch over here. The Torah allows us the use of animals, but only when there's a purpose. Shchut Echutz is killing an animal for no purpose whatsoever. It doesn't serve as a karbon, it doesn't serve as a kapara, it doesn't serve as food, it doesn't serve as anything. So to kill animals stam is a serious violation, dam shofach. It's interesting to note, I think we've quoted before, one of the famous tshuvas of the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda in the 1700s was asked, is it appropriate for a Jew to go hunting? It's appropriate for a Jew to go hunting. He was asked, it seems like, by a wealthy and somewhat acculturated Jew who seems like he was German and had, you know, vast fields and liked to go hunting for sport. So after discussing it a little bit, essentially, the Noda B'Yehuda says, it's not clear that there's an isser over here to go hunting for sport. But, you know, if you note, in the Torah, there are two hunters who go hunting for sport in the Torah. One of them is named Nimrod. One of them is named Esav. Neither of them were nice Jewish boys. Esav maybe was a nice Jewish boy at one point, but then didn't really stick with the program, right? But neither of those two people are people that we would hold up as role models to emulate. So basically, the Noda B'Yehuda writes back, do you really want to emulate Nimrod and Esav, you know, as hunters, even if we can't put a finger on what might be the Isser in going out, you know, to hunt animals? I think the Noda B'Yehuda, as far as I recall, doesn't quote the Sefer HaChinuch, but the Sefer HaChinuch might be a source. Again, the Sefer HaChinuch was a Rishon. We're not sure who he was, but he was a Rishon. You know, the Sefer HaChinuch might be a source for a stronger response to the question that the Noda B'Yehuda gave. The Noda B'Yehuda said, pasnished, but I'm not sure if I can really say it's osir. The Sefer HaChinuch seems like he's saying it's more than pasnished. It's taka osir, dom shofach. That's the Torah is telling you over here, that the wanton destruction of animals, where you get nothing out of it whatsoever, is an isser. What is it exactly? I guess it's not so much that it's aser, it's that it's not part of the heter that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave mankind after the Mabul to eat animals. In other words, originally we weren't allowed to shecht animals at all, you know, to kill animals at all for our own purpose, maybe for karbonos, right? You're allowed to bring karbonos, you know, in the beginning of time. Adam Arishon brought a karbon, you know, Hevel brought an animal karbon. Fine. So that was the only... Basically, you're not allowed to do anything with animals other than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows. Originally, he allowed karbonos. Then after the Mabul, he allowed using animals for other purposes, but he never allowed using animals for wanton purposes, for nothing. So that's what the Pasuk is saying over here, Dom Shofech. Right? So, you know, just to go stam and kill animals for no good purpose, you know, that's going to be some kind of a violation according to the Sefer Achinuch. That's a very interesting Sefer Achinuch in its own right. But, again, it seems to be coming from a different perspective than the Tanchuma and Rashi and the Yonasam Nuzio, who say that Dom Shofach doesn't simply mean you wantonly killed an animal. It means, as Rashi says, Kishofech Dam Ha'adam, that a person who engages in Shchutei Chutz is like a murderer. And again, we come back to the question we posed a number of minutes ago. All right, Shchutei Chutz, bad, I get it. Chiyuv Karis, murderer? Right? Isn't that like a little bit over the top? Isn't that a little bit of an extreme comparison? In what way exactly is somebody who engages in Shchutei Chutz like a murderer? So it's actually interesting. I was looking around a little bit. I mean, again, you know, it's always a dangerous thing to say. I didn't find anyone who spoke about this. I'm sure there's somebody out there who speaks about it. I didn't immediately find anyone who touched on this topic and explaining Rashi or the like. It struck me, perhaps, maybe one can suggest the following idea, just to try to understand, you know, what this comparison that the Tanchuma makes between Shchutei Chutz and Shvichus Damim and murder. I mean, it seems like a very, very exaggerated comparison. So, first of all, obviously, it's not meant entirely literally, right? In other words, the guy who engages in Shchutei Chutz, yes, he's Chayav Kares, and yes, it's a terrible thing, but we don't put him to death in Bezdin, right? I mean, we don't. You know, that's the comparison is not meant in an exact, absolute sense. Okay, so it's meant to convey an idea. So what's the idea exactly which is being conveyed? So I think in part we can go back to the Sefer HaChinuch in order, you know, even though the Sefer HaChinuch ultimately says something differently than Rashi and the Tanchuma, but there's a certain idea in the Sefer HaChinuch which we can, borrow in order to try to understand this Rashi. The Sefer HaChinuch underscores that the having a single place to bring karbanos called the Beis HaMikdash is incredibly, incredibly important. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch presents it as simply the place where Avodas Hashem can be maximized. If you bring a karbon in your backyard, it's not going to quite have the same effect as bringing it in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to bring a karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, not to bring them anywhere else. I would suggest that what the Tanchuma is saying is maybe a step beyond that. The Tanchuma is saying having a central place for Avodas Hashem in the world, a central place to which karbanos are brought, is part of the very goal and purpose of existence itself, of creation itself. Chazal say that the Mikdash was one of the things that was created even before the world was created. In the Kinnos that we read on Tisha B'Av, we talk about how from the time of Adam HaRishon, the greats, the gedolim of history, the Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu, saw that there was going to be a Mikdash. They saw it as being integral to the purpose of creation itself, to the purpose of existence. They wept when they saw Benavua, that it was going to be destroyed because in some way that undid the purpose of creation. By comparing Shchutei Chutz to murder, the Tanchuma is saying the same way that we understand that when you murder a person, Rachmana Litzlan, you're undoing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. You're setting back creation itself. Hama'abed nefesh achas ki'ilu ibed olam mole. If you cause a single person to be lost, you destroy a single person. It's as if you destroyed the whole world. You have to understand, says the Pasuk, that ignoring the idea of a single central Beis HaMikdash, saying that I'm gonna make a shtibala, down the block, it's going to be faster. We're going to bring the karbanos in a more expedited fashion, you know. We'll have a kiddush afterwards. It's going to be much better than the Beis HaMikdash. You'll see, right? You know, you think, okay, you're just setting up an expedited place for Avodas Hashem. You're undoing the purpose of creation. And you have to understand the magnitude of what you're doing in Shchutei Chutz by chipping away at the centrality of the Beis HaMikdash. You're undoing one of the purposes of creation. It's comparable on that level to, Rahman al-Islam, killing a person. And in that way also minimizing the Tzelem Elokim in the world. Chazal, the Pasuk says, Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishofech, ki b'tzelem Elokim asa asa adam. God made man and imprinted man with the image of God, whatever that means exactly, but clearly it's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for creation. You kill a person kills a person, and Rachman al-Itzlan, he's memayit bidmus in the Lashon of Chazal. He minimizes the appearance of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. So understand that Shchutei Chutz is comparable to that. You think you're just setting up a karbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you're unraveling creation. It's not a little thing. And that's the point that Rashi, that the Tanchuma, that the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel is saying, that Dom Shofach, you know, the person who's engaged in Shchutei Chutz, is really engaged in Shvichas Domim. You know, it has the same impact on the purpose of creation itself. Wish everyone a good Shabbos, and Be'ez Hashem will continue learning next week.